You leaving me, baby? I love you. My wife, too, but I'm talking to the baby, baby. She's excited. She loves to go to the nursery. She loves to play just as hard as possible. And she's going to have a good time with all these other youngins, too. She said she has more fun than they do. I love that song so much. Because when you really get to thinking about church and how it's changed throughout the years, it can almost get depressing. It can almost get to the point that you just don't want to go anymore, right? Let's just get real. I ain't got a sermon note, okay? I don't know if y'all ever heard anybody preach without a sermon note, but y'all fixing to hear one. That means I can come down here and I got to be up there. I don't like that pulpit anyways. That thing's broke. I had to rip the whole thing apart just so I could put my notes up there. But church has gotten to that place where it's not what it used to be. It's not what it used to be. We used to, when you sit there and hear that song, it talks about them old saints could just pray heaven down. Amen. Ain't no old saints praying heaven down anymore. Old saints got tired. And the new ones don't care. Let's get real. Come on now. This is your church. You're proving me right because you can't say amen. Oh, me, right? That's just the way that it is. That's the way society's gone. That's the way things have just transpired time. I went to my niece lost her baby. How long ago has that been? A year? My mother-in-law can't hear me. A little over a year. She lost the baby, and we had to do the funeral, and we went to the graveside. And when we got to the graveside, there was a little old church that was just run down. I have no idea how long it's been shut down. I don't know how long it's been since somebody's been in there. But I did the very good Baptist thing because I like old churches, and I broke into it. You say, well, you're a thief. I mean, you shouldn't do that. Well, there wasn't nobody else in it, so I didn't think it seemed to matter all that much. And I walked into the old church, and I could see all the dust and all the dirt and everything that's in there and how everybody just left it. And I can just imagine that somebody used to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. Somebody used to care for some people that used to show up at that church week in and week out, and they used to hear the Word of God preached. You could see the old pulpit where somebody's hands had kind of rubbed the wood off of it. Why? Because they're sitting up there just trying to give you something from the Word of God. Was he probably one of the best preachers? Probably not. But he wanted to give you Jesus. You probably remember them old preachers. They used to just grab it. Why? Because they'd just keep them from running all over the place. They had to hold on. Used to, you'd walk in churches and see the backs of the pews where people would hold on to them. Why? Because they were under conviction. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You're so far from God, you can't get convicted if you wanted to. Oh, me, right? I've been there. I'm there a lot more than I'd like to say that I am. I told you, I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm open and I'm real, okay? I've never claimed to be a great preacher. I hope God allows me to keep doing it, but I never claimed to be a great one. I hope one day I get better at it. I hope one day that I can just speak where everybody's just captivated all the time. But I'm just doing what God called me to do. And that's just be real with you. And I think about those churches of old, how they used to just have church. When somebody would come to this altar, whether they needed to be saved or whether they just needed to be closer to God or whether something was just going on, they would flock the altar to pray with somebody. Now, you can't even get out of the pew because somebody might think bad of you. Because somebody might think bad of you if you come down to this altar. Who cares what they think? It ain't got nothing to do with anybody else. It's between you and God. Here's the thing. If they think that way about you, they ought to be there too. In fact, they should have ran before you got there if they got that kind of heart. But them old churches were different. They cared about what God was saying. They cared about that book. We talked about that in Sunday school. They may have not had all the education. But all the education don't mean a whole lot if you ain't got the book. The book's the most important thing. That's what calls you. If I didn't have the book, I wouldn't be called. Clarify my position. If you don't have a King James Bible, you ain't called to God to preach. Amen right there. Amen. I believe you can be saved because being saved out of a different version is different. You've got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be saved. That's something completely different. But to be called of God to preach it, you got to have it. You got to have what gives you the calling. If I made you mad, I'm sorry. Get over it. It'll be over soon. I promise. I'm going to preach fast. There's food in the back. And I preached too long last time. I got to make up the difference. Trying to tell you all my story. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms. I come across this quite often in my reading. Every time I come across it, I end up having to preach it. I keep thinking church one day and y'all going to hear it too often, and then I just realized maybe y'all need to hear it as much as I need to hear it. So, Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. Like I said, I ain't got a note, so I have no idea how it's going to pan out. I don't really care. Psalms chapter 22. This is what God laid on my heart. The Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. You got David talking here. I would think David was probably in a bad place right here. In 22, he's probably going through something. Have you ever been there? Have you ever sat down at your bed and said, God, where are you at? I don't understand this one. I don't know how to fix this one, God. Where have you gone? Because that's where we first go to, right? It's God's fault. Oh, me? It's always God's fault. It ain't your fault. It's God's fault. You've got to take some responsibility every once in a while and realize you've got yourself in the position you got yourself in. You chose to do those certain things. It's like I've said before, we give the devil too much credit sometimes. The devil made me do it. The devil ain't in everything, folks. Don't put him at God's level. Put him where he belongs. Yeah, he has some pull, and he does do that. He's seeking whom he may devour, and I understand that he can get in things and he can destroy certain stuff, but I'm here to tell you, he don't do all of it. Sometimes you do some of it. Why? Because you got that old man on you, right? You got that sinful nature. Paul says he had to die daily to it. Daily. It wasn't something he just got saved and it fixed everything. No, he died daily to it. You don't get saved and all your life just becomes easy. In fact, a lot of times you get saved, sometimes it gets harder. The devil ain't worried about you. When you lost, you're dying and going to hell anyways. Sometimes it gets harder. Sometimes he can put things in your life that just seem like you don't know how to handle it. And we have a tendency to always say, God, where did you go? God, why did you change? God, why did you move here? Why did you not stay right here? We talked about it last time I was here. You were talking about Paul and Silas in jail, and we went through that whole story. And Paul and Silas could have just gave up right there, and they could have said, you know what? I'm done with it. You got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They sit there in a fiery furnace. They could have said, hey, God, we didn't expect to be in no fire. And they could have given up. David, all the things David goes through in his life, all the bad, all the good, you'd think at some point in time he'd say, I am done with this. Saul keeps trying to kill me. I can't get away. When I become the king, I'm supposed to go to battle. I don't go to battle. I go through this whole thing. I end up killing another man. I got sermons on that too. I'm going to stay off of them today. Not where you're supposed to be. But he took responsibility. He said he was in the wrong. Guess what? He got his life right. It cost him his son, but he got his life right. What did he do when he was in a bad place? He got on his face before God and said, you know what, God, fix it. You can fix it. However you see fit, you fix it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have gave up. Guess what? They said, even if he don't, even if he doesn't change the situation, guess what? He's still God. David right here, he's asking God, where are you at? I've been there. I was a singer. I got called to preach. The hardest thing I ever did was come off the road because I loved the road. I loved singing. I loved traveling. When I came off the road, I had some opportunities to go back. I still have opportunities to go back. And I would love to go back. Sometimes I sit back and go, God, why can't I just go do that again? And then I have to kind of reflect myself. I'm called to preach. I'm called to do a different direction now, God. You let me sing when I can, and I'm going to preach. Because I can get caught up and want to go that direction. I could go get back on that bus tomorrow. Gold City looking for a lead singer right now. I done been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I already know the songs. It'd be easy. But that's not what God called me to do. And I remember after being off the road for a few years, I got a call from a group in Oklahoma. And that group in Oklahoma, I thought was going to be the perfect situation. Because the perfect situation would be where you could preach and sing. Yeah, I thought I'd done arrived. They do a lot of revivals. I thought it would be cool. Me and Ricky had talked a lot, and we were like, yeah, man, you could, I preach some, and then you could preach some, and we could go to these churches we've been, and you could preach them, and then, I, you know, it would just be, it'd be awesome. It would be awesome. And I was excited about it, and I wanted to do it. And we were thinking about doing it. This is before my little boy got here. She was great with child, but it was before he was here. And she was nervous, and I was ready to go. And I remember practicing, because that's what you do. You know, when you're trying to learn songs, you practice. As you can tell, I don't practice very much anymore. My abilities have dwindled. But I was practicing. I was trying to learn the songs. I was trying to go through that process. I was trying to get everything together. And I remember thinking, man, my voice just don't seem up to par right now. I don't know what's going on. I can still sing. But something wasn't right. Lost some range. Lost some comfortability of just being able to sing and it being comfortable, it coming out easy. It wasn't like that anymore. It seems like I was struggling for it. And I remember being in that position and going, well, I need to go to the doctor and see what's going on. And they found out that I had thyroid issue. Thank you. I take a pill for it, and she keeps me straight with that. I had a thyroid issue. What it did is it created a nodule that was pushed against my vocal cords. That's a problem when you're a singer. I don't know if y'all know anything about singing, but that will create an issue. That will make you strip your vocal cords completely out. And it's a wonder I haven't done it preaching. But I realized that I was not going to be able to correct this very quickly because the medication was hard to get regulated. And I remember thinking, but I got to get it fixed because I got to go do this. God's opened up a door. It's got to be the right thing. And I remember thinking, it's not going to work out. And I remember sitting back saying, God, where are you at? God, where are you at? You knew I wanted this, so where did you go? Why did you walk away from me here? It was the perfect situation to be able to preach, to be able to sing. It was perfect. Why'd you walk away, God? Why didn't you just fix this problem? Why didn't you just make it go away? You could have, and he could have, but he didn't. I still take a pill for it. 150 milligrams every morning. still take a pill for it. Some people say that's a bad thing. No, it's a reminding thing for me. Every time I pop one in the morning, oh yeah, God. Yeah, God. That's what I'm supposed to do. I want to do this. I contemplate it every time they offer a job. Should I go do that? But God, that's not what I'm called to do. You see, I've been there where I've sat back and gone, where are you at, God? I remember when they regulated my medicine, and I remember that's when my preaching started picking up. I was like, that's what you had in plan for me. You see, if I was on the road in Oklahoma right now, and I was singing, I would be in Texas right now. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Some of you are like, thank God he wouldn't be here. But y'all the ones looking for a pastor. You called me. I just showed up. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. And it would have been easy to get down on myself and just complain about it and say, God, why didn't you just fix my problem? And I could have just stopped everything. And a lot of people do. A lot of people do. You know people that have. I'm sure there's people you're thinking of right now that have just quit on God. Maybe you were that person at some point in time in your life where you just said, I'm not going to do it anymore. God, you've left me here. You're not nowhere to be found, and I don't know what else to do, so I'm done with you. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you know somebody that's been there. You say, well, those trials, you know, God wants you to have it. No, God doesn't always want you to have it easy. Sometimes God says you've got to press towards the mark. Pressing means it's probably going to hurt a little bit. I heard a preacher preach this past week at a revival, and he was talking about that verse where he's pressing towards the mark, and he said it's kind of like being in the gym. It's kind of like pushing. I don't do that. Ain't nothing good about a gym. I hadn't lifted a weight since like high school, and that's been a long time. But it's kind of like being in high school and you're getting ready for football and you're trying to press more weight and you're trying to bench more and you're trying to do all these different things. And the thing about it is when you get a good spotter, how it works is that spotter will sit there and he'll put his fingers on it. He'll just kind of tap it a little bit and help you. You're pushing it. He'll sit there and say, come on, you got one more. You've got one more. And he'll just kind of pat it for you. But a bad one, what do? They just pick it up for you. God's a good spotter. God said, you know what? To break down the muscle, you got to push it. You got to go beyond what you think you can handle. So when he's trying to develop a Christian, he's going to say, hey, here's a little bit of resistance, and I know it's probably going to hurt, but it's going to be all right. I'm right here. I'm your spotter. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm right here, but you got one more. Just keep pressing. Keep pushing. Don't give up yet. Paul lived that kind of life. And at the end of his life, well done, didn't he? Well done. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Can you say that? If you were to die right now, what do you stand before God and say? Come on, let's get real. Be honest with yourself. What you going to say when you stand before God? If you died right now, if don't die in this church. Wait till you leave. After lunch, then have a heart attack. Don't do it in this church building. I can't deal with that. The pressure will be too much. I don't know. Is any of y'all doctors? Probably not, so no. But y'all a lot of farmers, so we can bury you. That's easy. Got that part covered. If you died right now, what you going to do? What are you going to do? Where you were, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's where you live most of the time, right? It's where I live. Most of the time it's woe is me, you know, when the finances aren't there, because they're usually not, and gas is $5 a gallon. Amen to that. But you get caught up in that world, don't you? Oh, I can't go to church anymore because gas too much. I can't drive an hour and a half to go preach somewhere. Gas too much. I figure God will take care of that. If I do what God wants me to do, He'll take care of the money part of it. I still got a job. I'm going to go to it tomorrow. I ain't going to like it, but I'm going to go to it. I'm going to print them signs just as fast as I can print them. I got 5 pallets waiting on me to make. I'm excited about it. But guess what? It makes me be able to come and preach. But my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's where you live. That's where you stay. That's what you can't seem to get out of. But what I like about David is he changes from 22 to 23. See, in 23, everything seems to change. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my head with all my cup over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You've heard those scriptures all your life. You see, there's a difference in a 22 Christian and a 23 Christian. You go into the same heaven, but the difference is your woe is me and God's not in it. And over here, He's sitting there saying, God's got the victory. God's right here with me. God's comforting me. God's restored me. God's helped me. Where do you stay at most of your life? In 22 or in 23? What kind of Christian do you want to be? Do you want to be a 22 Christian or do you want to be a 23 Christian? You see, there is a difference. Which one are you striving for? Because I want to stay in 23. I find myself in 22 quite often, but I want to be over here in 23 most of the time. You see, I want to be able to say, hey, you comforted me. I know I was down over here, but you comforted me. You came back and you got me. You helped me. I understood what I needed to learn over here, and now I'm on the right track. That's what you need to be doing as a Christian. That's what you need to understand. As a Christian, you can live that kind of life. You can live that kind of life as a Christian. This morning, I have no idea what you bring. I don't even know most of your names. Y'all going to have to get name tags. Slap them right there in your forehead. I have to remember one. I have to remember a lot. And my wife gets on to me all the time. You don't remember their names? No, I don't remember none of their names. I will remember your face forever, but your name? No. I'll have to 15 times. My son's name half the time. Just call him boy. He comes running. Walker's like, "What happened?" What kind of Christian are you? I don't know what you bring to the door. I have no idea what you deal with on a day-to-day basis. I have no idea what you're going through. Some of you may have sickness. Some of you may be dealing with somebody who's going through some sickness problems. That's going around a lot right now. Some of you got financial problems. Some of you got marital problems. Some of you got, you know, personal problems. Everybody's got a problem of some sort. It's just how are you dealing with it. It's how are you going to deal with it. Are you going to stay in 22? And you're going to sit there and say, "God, you've left me. God, you're nowhere to be found. I've cried for you and you didn't show up. He said He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Did you forget that part? Have you forgotten that He said, 'I'm right here always. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.'" He died on the cross for your sins. But God committed His love towards us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He just died for you. He just shed His blood for you. I think if He's willing to do that, He's willing to probably help you. He's probably willing to help you in your life. Life gets hard. Complicated than what it really is. Most of the time because we don't want to listen to what God's telling us in the first place. The decisions we make are not made on depending on God. We don't sit back and say, hey, God, what should I do here? God, what do you want me to do there? God, how do you want me to handle this situation? We don't look at things like that. We just do them. And we ask God later. Please, Lord, forgive me for this. That's not how it should work. You should be asking God, hey, how do I need to handle this situation? And He'll give you an answer. You say, well, sometimes He doesn't answer. No, sometimes He doesn't answer like you want Him to. Let's get real about that. He always answers. It just might not be the one you want. That's how that usually works. You sit down and say, I expect God to answer it this way. I expect God to take this away. I expect God to fix this right now. And here's the thing. God may give you an answer, but it's probably not the one you want to hear half the time. Because why? Because you're just sitting here saying, I'm the old man. God will just pick it up. If God will just pick the weight up off of me, it'll all be over. And it would be. But here's the thing. He's trying to teach you something. He's trying to say, hey, you got yourself into this mess. Now you're going to have to work to get out of it. Why? Because somebody else may be going through that mess later on, and I need you to know how to show them, how to teach them, how to help them. Not every situation you go through is such a bad thing. Sometimes you just need to understand what Jesus Christ is trying to teach you. And a lot of them, you did yourself. Because I've done it myself. So this morning, are you 22? Or are you 23? This morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it don't even matter. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have no idea what I'm even talking about. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You need to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15 right now. If I wasn't saved, I'd run to this altar just as fast as I could get here just so somebody take the Word of God and show me how I can know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Somebody will. I would love to do it. If you're a lady, I'm sure there's a lady in here that would love to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. And if they won't, I'll still do it. Me and my wife will sit here and just tell you all about it. Somebody ought to be telling you about Jesus Christ. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. Reconciling the world to Jesus Christ. That's your commission. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is reconciling the world to Jesus Christ. You miss Sunday school, shame on you. I like Sunday school, and I will harp on that. If I can make it here, you can make it here, because most of y'all live here. Yeah. Ones of y'all that were here say amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just picking. I understand you can't make everything. Especially when you got them things. Whew. I barely made it here myself. And mine are almost this big. Where are you at? 22? 23? Look within yourself. I told you I was going to preach short. I did real well. We're going to go eat shortly. I think somebody can play the piano for me. I want everybody to stand to their feet. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. If you need to come talk to God about anything, it'd be a good time to do it. Maybe you're in that 22 part of life and you're sitting there saying, where are you at, God? I don't understand why you're putting me through these things. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe you feel like God's 100 miles away from you, but I'm here to tell you He's right there. You just need to wake up a little bit. If you're living your life over here in 22, you need to get in 23. It'll do your heart some good. It'll change your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it'll be a good day to get that settled. And I know everybody will rejoice in that. As she plays this morning, if you need to do something, do business with God, come down to this altar.